Our subject this afternoon is God's instrument. Please keep your Bible open to Esther chapter 4. And I read to you verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall there enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." The appeal that Mordecai made in this very distressing time was to one single person, namely to his foster daughter, Esther. And so likewise, this sermon is addressed to individuals rather than to nations or to churches. As Christian believers, each one of us has been entrusted by God opportunity, talent, and position. Let us remember that as believers in Christ, we are given this new life in the Lord Jesus Christ for a purpose. We have a duty, a responsibility. Each one of us, as believers, there is something for us to do, a work which he or she cannot delegate to another person, a task which it is his or her privilege to be permitted to undertake as the Lord so gave, talents and gift, and which will be his or to his or to her solemn disgrace and detriment if he or she does not carry out that work, but which will be to his or her eternal glory under God if he or she be found faithful in it, in carrying out what the Lord has entrusted to him or to her. The gospel assures the Christian that God, the Holy Spirit, has committed talents, gifts to every man according to his several ability. 1 Corinthians 12:11. And you look at that question again in the last part of verse 14. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? This question is directed to each one of us, the Christian. We shall look at this passage under four words derived from this text. The first word is hearken. Hearken. Hear my word, as Mordecai desired Esther to listen to him. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. Hear and obey while God the Lord speak to your heart by his word and calls you to your high vocation. Hear. First, hear a question. And the question is this. Will you separate your interests from those of God's people and from your God? Mordecai may not be afraid that Esther would do so, to separate her interests from God's people and from her God, but perhaps just to test her. And he did say, and he did so by saying, "Think not that thou shalt escape in the king's house." You see, it was possible that now Esther, being the queen, it might enter into her mind that she would be saved even if all the Jews, rest of the Jews, were put to death. She would still be, remain the favored wife of the great king, as she has not shown herself to them or her ethnicity. And so she might therefore selfishly look to herself and leave those of her kindred in danger to look to themselves or to look to God, while she coldly hoped that the Lord would somehow or give them deliverance. What about us? Does that temptation come across the path of any one of us? Do you similarly have such attitude? You may say, I shall be saved, though my family and friends who are non-believers, they shall perish in their sin. I know that the Lord Jesus, myself, and that is my main concern. Other than that, that of my family, members and friends and neighbors and colleagues, if they should perish, well, thank God I'm not one of them. And I'm thankful that it will not interfere my final destiny. Will you argue in such or in this selfish manner? If so, dear friends, then you are very likely not a child of God, born of His Spirit. Your salvation lies not in your separation from Christ and God's people, but in your union with them. If your interest and Christ are to be separated, then you must supply for yourself with atonement. You must supply for yourself righteousness. You must supply your own spiritual life, and you must supply your own spiritual food, and you must make a heaven for yourself. There is no receiving Christ unless you have this grace also, namely that you give yourself to Christ and make Christ, His interest, your interest, His life, your life, His kingdom, your kingdom, His glory, your glory. Believers must live unto God and love other fellow believers as God had loved us, or else we are still outside of His kingdom and still living in the bondage of sin. Think not. Look again at that verse in verse 13. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Christian believers must unite with the Lord Jesus Christ and His people in winning the spiritual warfare over sin, or else sin will win the victory over you. Hear this and let it sink into your mind. We are not to separate ourselves from other believers. Their concern is our concern. Their welfare and well-being is our well-being. We are all members in one body of Christ. And then also next, remember to humble you, or for your humiliation, that God can do without you. That God can do without you. Look at verse 14. Then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from where? From another place. From another place. Enlargement and deliverance will arise to God's people from another place if it come not by us. When God looked and there was no man, He will set up His own standard. He will set up His banner. His own arm will bring salvation. And as it was of old, so it will be again. God by Himself will effect His purpose. He will by Himself fetch home His banished. He will gather together His scattered sheep. If we do not move a finger or do anything to bring the gospel to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not a problem for God. He will cause the earth to be full of the knowledge of God as the water covers the sea. And if we do not gather in the wanderers or spread the knowledge of His grace, and that is to evangelize, the work will be done by more faithful men whom the Lord will raise up. God can do without you, without me. Remember that. We are inclined to think in our pride, to think of ourselves wonderfully important. We think that we are indispensable, and we think that we are very important, and we begin to be very anxious if we are put aside or laid aside from the work of God for a little time. But perhaps this affliction is necessary to teach us and to teach all that know us not to look to man and to look to God alone. And so here is another sobering thought. Remember that just as God can do without us, and this is very frightening, very sobering thought that we must consider. Just as God can do without us, it may be He will do without us. I repeat, just as God can do without us, it may be He will do without us. The Lord may decline to use us if we are not prepared in such a time as this to do our utmost and to lay ourselves out for the cause of the gospel and for holiness and righteousness. It is not a problem for God. God can just leave us alone and He can do it without us. It may please the Lord to say, like He did to the wicked and slothful servant, take away his talent from him and give it to him that have 10 talents. I'm sure you are familiar with that parable in the gospel. Oh, brethren, let us take heed of this warning. The Lord will judge his people, and to whom much is given of him shall much be required. The second word we want to, we can derive from this text is consider. Consider. Consider what? Consider your spiritual status. Consider your spiritual privileges that God has given to you. Consider your spiritual talents and gifts that God has given to you. You who are Christian believers, you have been saved by grace and delivered from eternal damnation. You have been raised to salvation. You have been lifted from the dunghill and set among princes. What are the obligations of one elected to the foreknowledge of God, redeemed by the heart's blood of Christ and quickened by the Holy Spirit? Did God save you just so that you may be saved? What manner of person ought we to be? You have been raised to that honor. Walk worthy of it. Remember the prayer that Paul made? Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Beside that, some of you have been raised to a very high degree of Christian knowledge. You are no longer mere babies in grace. You are well instructed in the word of God. And you have the blessed experience both of trouble and affliction and of joy, which has made you strong in the Lord and has confirmed you in the faith. In addition to all this, the Lord Jesus has raised some of you out of poverty, brought you to comparative wealth, perhaps to positive wealth. And He has given you position which once you never dreamed of. To this, He also adds domestic comfort, health, prosperity in all its form. The Lord has also given you talent. So, therefore, you are brought into the kingdom of God. But why is that so? Did God, as I said, save you and give you all this and bless you with so much so that you can just use it for your own selfish end, for your own enjoyment and for your family? I want you to consider why the Lord Jesus has brought you where you are. Do you think that God has done it for your own sake? Does He intend all this merely that you may practice self-indulgence? Can this be the design of God? Do not think so. Has He done all this merely to give you pleasure so that you can feel good about it, about your position, your promotion? Not so. God's work is like a net of many meshes. And these are all connected with each other. As members of the body of Christ, we are links of the same chain and cannot move without moving others. We are members of one body, and God acts towards us with that fact or that truth in view. He does not bless the hand for the hand's sake, but for the sake of the whole body. Well then, brethren, you are saved that you may save. You are taught that you may teach. You are confirmed in the faith that you may confirm others. Talents are allocated to you so that you may turn them over and bring in heavenly interest for your Lord. Whatever you have is yours, not to hoard for yourself or to spend upon yourself, but that you may use it as a good steward of God. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom which God has given you for such a time as this, when there is a need of you and all that you have? Consider also, dear friends, under what special circumstances you have come where you are. To you as an individual, I distinctly speak. It was a very strange thing that Esther, think of it, Esther, who was the foster child of Mordecai, a humble Jew, she should rise from lowly rank to be the queen of Persia. Can you think of it? Out of all the women gathered from every province, how singular that she should be chosen to be queen. Oh, my friends, special providence. Special providence selected the Jewish maiden for the throne. And this is also true of each one of us now occupying a position of usefulness. Think of it. David was taken from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes great with young, that he might be the shepherd of God's people, the children of Israel. Dear friend, how did you come or gain that comfortable position which you now occupy in society? How come you, even to be in the family of God? How came you to be a Christian, to be a believer, and brought into the fold of God? Now consider what a wonder of grace you are. What a singular favor it is that you are where you are. Are you not privileged? Are you not blessed? Should not these remarkable dealings of the Lord Jesus toward you inspire you to holy worship and divine service to the Lord Jesus Christ? Let your special deliverances and memorable mercies be as the tongue of persuasion, constraining you to grateful service, brethren. Consider how great things the Lord has done for you, and he is still doing it, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight even now. The third word is aspire. Aspire. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Brethren, fulfill your calling to its highest degree, to its loftiest degree. Not only do all that you are sure you can do, but aim at something which as yet is higher. Say to yourself, who knoweth? That is what the ambitious man says when he aspires to be great. When Louis Napoleon was shut up in the fortress of Ham, and everybody ridiculed his foolish attempts on France, yet he said to himself, who knows? Of course, here I'm not suggesting that you go after worldly ambitions like Napoleon, but that you, as Christian believers, saved by grace, that you will ardently be ambitious to do what? To honor God and to bless fellow believers, to use all that you have and given for the advancement of God's kingdom, for his glory, for God's people. Who knows? Who knows? Does anybody know what God may do by you? Who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Nobody knows to the contrary. I cannot tell, but what God may bless you at your place, to your place of work or business. Nobody will dare say that he cannot. I cannot tell, but what God may bless you, my friend, to that part of your neighborhood in which you live. Even though you may be deeply conscious of his great needs and of your own insufficiency, who can tell what the Lord can or will do? Who can tell why the Lord brought you over to this country? Who can tell why God put you in such a position and such a place? Who can tell? Nobody has any right to speak to the contrary. Who knows but what God may bless you, dear teachers, Sunday school teachers, Bible study leaders, so that you may meet them, your students, all in heaven. Nobody can tell that it should not be so. Therefore, strive after it. All things are possible to him that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You seem in your own sight to be as grasshopper when compared with the sons of Anak. But the Lord on high is mighty, and out of the weakest things he has ordained strength to his honor and glory. The watchword, therefore, brethren, is aspire. Our fourth word is confide. Confide. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? If you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this, be confident that you are saved. If God has brought Esther to the throne that she may go in unto the king and save her people, then you likewise go in like Esther. Fear not the rest. Fast and pray if you must before you go, but be not dismayed. If the heart in you trembles in the prospect of a possible death, let confidence in God override your fears. King Ahasuerus cannot kill you. You cannot die. He cannot refuse his golden scepter to all. He can refuse his golden scepter to all the princes of the empire, but not to you. For God has placed you where you are and ordained you for his purpose. Rest assured, brethren, if God had meant to destroy you, he would not have shown you such things as this. Fall back on his past mercy and be confident. As we have learned before, reflect, recall, remember, revisit what the Lord has done. His past mercy, and be confident. David said, they compass me about like bees. Yea, they compass me about. But in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. If God's decree so runs, there is no altering to it. If God has purposed it, there is no defeating of it. The Lord of hosts is with us. We were right forth conquering and to conquer. So brethren, those of us who are in the Lord and in the will of God, settle in your mind that the Lord Jesus has called you to the work, and then advance without question or fear. Put your hand to the plow. Pause not. Do the work with all your might. Do not stand asking. Do it as you can. Do not stand asking how, rather. Do it as you can. Do not stand asking when. Do it directly. Do not say, but I'm weak. The Lord is strong. Do not say, but I must devise methods. Do not concoct scheme or wait to perfect your methods. Set yourself upon the work with all your might. When you become so absorbed by the passion for the glory of God, the salvation of sinners, the spread of the gospel truth, and reclaiming the fallen race, there shall be about you the mightiest force. So may you feel such a compassion concerning mission today. May you feel that the gospel must be preached to all nations. May you feel that impulse at this moment while we worship God by giving our contribution to Christ and his cause. And for those who are outside of the kingdom of God, the only way to live a life of purpose and meaning and to be God's instrument is to be in Christ. For there is no other way that we are able, that we can be of use to God, and there is no other way that we can have this to be our confidence, to do the work, to live the life that God desires us to live. So may the Lord help us. May the Holy Spirit continue to give us grace, and that may you pray that the Lord will indeed, and you ask yourself, who knows? Who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Let us pray. Gracious, mighty God, eternal, loving Father, we give thee thanks and praise. Indeed, we are of all people most blessed. But Heavenly Father, we must also confess to our shame indeed how often we are living below our spiritual privileges and blessing which you have so graciously given to us. Oh, Heavenly Father, we seek for thy forgiveness. So often we live for ourselves and not live for the glory of God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we seek for thy forgiveness, for we are so wrapped up and so caught up with the things of this life that we have forgotten that thou hast saved us and give us life eternal for a purpose. For the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Oh, gracious, loving Father, we pray that during this and in this new week, that thou will work this in us, that thou by thy Spirit will bring to remembrance, oh Lord, all that you have done for us in our lives and how privileged and blessed we are, and that we are accountable to thee for all that thou hast given to us, and that we must give an account indeed on that final day. And so, Lord, while we continue our pilgrim journey here, help us, we pray, that we will seize every opportunity to be ambitious for the Lord, for his glory, for your kingdom, O Lord. And that, Lord, we may indeed have great love and concern for lost souls and those perishing around us. And so, Father in heaven, help us, we pray, in this new week, that thou will enable us by thy Spirit to do well in all that our hands find to do, in all our various responsibilities and duties. And whatever our calling may be, help us to be mindful. Who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Help us, we pray. Write your word upon our hearts that we might not sin against thee. Hear this, our prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.